Well, we'd appreciate your prayers this morning. I've been thinking about this since we were praying with someone to get saved last weekend, and I began to be inspired, and all week long I've been thinking about this off and on. And, you know, I was thinking about each one of us is born with the trust of our own soul. We are born with that, and no one else has that but us. And no one else can have that but us. We are in charge of that. Whether we go to heaven or not is up to us. It really is. Because the Lord has deemed it that He would, that all men would be saved. And so this morning, we are given a will. And it is not whether we feel like going, or maybe at times we've thought more that, you know, it's easy to think, well, I just need to go pray. I just need to get a certain kind of experience. And we believe in a real experience with the Lord, don't we? We all do. We believe in a real baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we know that makes a great difference in us. But I will tell you who's going to make it to heaven. Those that decide in their heart, with their will, that I'm on my journey to heaven, and I shall not be dissuaded. Those people will make it to heaven. And so this morning, I'm thinking about I have a few thoughts here in a little bit from Pilgrim's Progress. And there was one that became convicted and convinced that he was in sin and that he needed to leave the city of destruction and go to heaven and go to that place prepared. And so we find Christian taking his journey, and it had something to do with his will, didn't it? He decided, I am going to take my journey. And this morning, I want to encourage every one of us. Life can be long sometimes, and it's very short. But it can seem long at times. I will tell you something. The Lord plans and wants us to go to heaven. He plans for that, doesn't He? And so that is going to be something that if we want to go to heaven, we are going to have to take it upon ourselves, because that's who the decision is given to. That when God calls for me, I shall go. I want to tell you, I want to encourage every one of us, start on that journey and let nothing stop you. I shall go to heaven because God wills it so, and He'll take me there, and He paid a big price for that. I want to go to heaven at all costs. And whatever it costs me personally, I want to go to heaven. You know, when we make that kind of decision, I believe we can make it to heaven. I want to start in Luke 16 and look at a scripture here. It says, the law and the prophets were until John. This is Luke 16 and 16. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Do you know this morning, if you are going to live for God and make it through, you are going to have to press into it. You're going to have to press your way to heaven. Now, sometimes you may feel like you're in that veil where everything's perfect for a bit, but you're going to have to press your way if you want to go to heaven. We're going to have to decide. That word presseth, it means to force. That's the Greek word. To force, that is reflexively, to crowd oneself into. That's, and then it goes on. But that's what we're talking about this morning. The other scripture mentioned with this we find in Matthew 11 and 12. And it says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. You know that word violence is the same word that's translated presseth over there in Luke 16, where it says every man presseth into it. It means to force. And then It says the violent take it by force. And if you look that word up in the Strong's, it tells us a forcer. A forcer. Do you know this morning, it's not whether we got some amazing something that will take us forever. Because folks, no matter what we get, it won't take us forever unless we continue to press. Unless we continue to let the Lord have His way in our life. And so those that make it to heaven, folks, are those that decide, I'm taking a journey and I plan to go to heaven. And by the grace of God, I'm going to get there. Now I want to encourage the younger folks. Listen, take up your cross and decide, this is the way that I'm going by the grace of God. Pray for the Lord to give you desire. Pray for the Lord to cause you to want to take this thing by force and not just allow yourself to float along in life. Because the way of floating don't get you to heaven. I know we don't fight every day in the same way. And some days are just ethereal. They're beautiful and wonderful. And some days aren't. But we've got to decide it in our heart and mind. I am going to heaven. I'm going to heaven even if I have two back and one forward. I'm going to heaven by the grace of God. You know, Clark says of this scripture, he that will take, get possession of the kingdom of righteousness, peace, and spiritual joy must be in earnest. All hell will oppose him in every step he takes. And if a man be not absolutely determined to give up his sins and evil companions and have his soul saved at all hazards and at every expense, he will surely perish everlastingly. This requires a violent earnestness. And so this morning, I just want to encourage us to settle it in our hearts. You know, we would like to just float along merrily, merrily ever after and get saved in that. But I want to tell you, if we're going to go to heaven, we're going to have to decide, I'm giving up all evil companions. I'm giving up evil things. I'm giving up sin out of my heart and life. I'm going to pay the price and get rid of those things, and I'm going to go for the Lord. And I'm going to make it by the grace of God. And if I go two forward and one back, I'm still going to make it. I'm going to make it by the grace of God. I want to encourage us this morning that, folks, the violent take it by force. There's a forcer that has to be, and that has to be in our will. And I want to encourage us this morning, we cannot make it to heaven on our own, nor by our own power. But we can make the choice to choose to find the power of God. And that works this morning. Paul told the folks over here in Acts the 14th chapter and 22nd verse, he said, he went through and it says he was confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Do you know that's what Paul said? We must through much tribulation. There's going to be a lot come to us in life that we don't expect or want. But folks, we have to keep our eyes centered on one thing and our will centered, that I will go to heaven by the grace of God. Every one of us here, God wills to be in heaven. Now folks, let's settle it in our hearts. By the grace of God, I'm going to seek Him. I'm going to humble myself before Him. I'm going to find His grace to be able to live for the Lord so that I can be one of those pilgrims. Pilgrim's Progress, and John Bunyan wrote this, he said they went to the house of the interpreter. And the interpreter showed him something. And it says, I saw also, this is quoting Pilgrim's Progress, I saw also that the interpreter took him again by the hand and led him into a pleasant place where was built a stately palace, beautiful to behold, at the sight of which Christian was greatly delighted. He saw also upon the top thereof certain persons walking who were clothed all in gold. Then said Christian, may we go in hither? Then the interpreter took him and led him up toward the door of the palace. And behold, at the door of the palace, stood a great company of men, as desirous to go in, but durst not. There also sat a man at a little distance from the door at a table side with a book and his inkhorn before him to take the name of him that should enter therein. He saw also that in the doorway stood many men in armor to keep it, being resolved to do to the men that would enter what hurt and mischief they could. Now was Christian somewhat in a maze. At last, when every man started back for fear of the armed men, Christian saw a man of a very stout countenance come up to the man that sat there to write, saying, "Set down my name, sir." The which, when he had done, he saw the man draw his sword and put a helmet upon his head and rush toward the door upon the armed men, who laid upon him with deadly force. But the man, not at all discouraged, fell to cutting and hacking most fiercely. So after he had received and given many wounds to those attempted to keep him out, he cut his way through them all and pressed forward into the palace, at which there was a pleasant voice heard from those that were within, even of those that walked upon the top of the palace, saying, "Come in, come in. Eternal glory you shall win." So he went in and was clothed with such garments as they. Then Christian smiled and said, "I think verily I know the meaning of this." He was at the house of the interpreter. And here was one that settled it in his heart, "I'm going in. I'm going in." And he saw all those around them standing there wishing they could go in. But their will wasn't settled. Their will wasn't settled that God is going to help me to get in there. Folks, God is going to help us make it to heaven. And so let's draw our sword, the word of God. Let's use it on the devil that would keep us from heaven. Let's use it on him in every way that he would work against our eternal soul. And let's go to heaven together, folks. God will take us there. There's many that wish to go to heaven. And you get out and talk to people, everybody wants to go to heaven. But folks, there's not many people that will. There's not many people that says, "Set my name down there, sir. I'm going. Give me my sword now. I'm going to go." And so this morning, I feel inadequate to bring about the thing that inspired me the most. And that is that if we decide we're going to make it, we will. If we really will, we're going to make it. We will. But we have to cut and hack at the devil and all his fins and all his things that he will bring against our soul to keep us from heaven. The things he'll try to attach to our soul. The things he'll try to do to keep us from that. Folks, we have got to keep our soul clean and clear and our slate clean that we might make it there as well. We're going to have to fight for that. Paul wrote in Romans 8:35, he said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Folks, we have found the love of Christ to be most amazing. Have we all not found that? Yes, yes, it has. And he says, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" Paul knew a little about all these things, didn't he? He knew what he was writing. He knew the power of those things to separate us. He knew they could if we would allow them to. But folks, he tells us something very plainly. It's not possible unless we let it be so. The Lord help us all. Who is going to separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation? No. Distress? No. Persecution? No. Famine? Nakedness? Peril? Sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Folks, we know that we can't make it on our own, don't we? Can we make it on our own? We're not very strong, folks. We're not very strong in ourselves. At best, we make a complete failure. But I would tell you, through him that loved us, we are more than conquerors. And the Lord wills it to be so. For I am persuaded that neither death and all that comes with death, all that comes, I've been with a bunch of people that have been coming down to the last day, and a number of them that with them in death. I want to tell you something. It's not an easy thing to lay this body down. And Paul says, will death separate me? No, not hardly. He says, nor life. And all the things contained in life, and all the things that come in life, and all the things we deal with in life, and all the troubles, and all the tribulations, and all those things that come at times. He says, will life separate me? And all the temptations, and all the as we heard in Sunday school this morning, all the thorns, all the pleasures of life, and the needs of life, and will that separate us from Christ? Not hardly. Not hardly. Not unless we let it. But if our will is such that, Lord, I will go with you no matter what. I will come to you. I will watch and pray. I will find the grace of God. Then I want to tell you, there isn't enough devils to keep us from heaven in that case. And so the Lord help us today. Paul said, I am persuaded. I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. There isn't enough fear of the future out there. There isn't enough out there to stop us from going to heaven, folks. But we've got to will to keep our eyes centered on the goal. Through everything. And I want to tell you, if we'll do that, God will take us to be with himself. And one day we'll wear those shining raiments. We'll be there one day if we'll keep our soul pure and clean to the end. I am persuaded, nor principalities, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, verse 39, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want to tell you, there isn't anything that can separate us from the love of God except us. And that's it. There isn't any other thing that can separate us. Oh, the Lord bless each one of us today to make heaven our home and to settle it and to fight the good fight of faith, folks. The Lord wants us to do that. In Pilgrim's Progress, I want to read one more place here that he mentions. So he went on, and Apollyon met him. Have you ever read Pilgrim's Progress? I don't know how many have. I'm not asking you to raise your hands, but I want to encourage you to read it. He went on, and Apollyon met him. Now the monster was hideous to behold. He was clothed with scales like a fish, and they are his pride. He had wings like a dragon and feet like a bear. Now, mind you, he's talking spiritual language here. He's writing an allegory. And feet like a bear, and out of his belly came fire and smoke, and his mouth was as the mouth of a lion. When he was come up to Christian, he beheld him with a disdainful countenance and thus began to question him, which came you and whither are you bound? I am come from the city of destruction, which is the place of all evil, and I am going to the city of Zion. And then dropping on down, but as God would have it, see, Apollyon flew upon him, wrestled him down. He took a fall. And it says, while Apollyon was fetching his last blow, thereby to make a full end of this good man, Christian nimbly reached out his hand for his sword and caught it, saying, And remember, the sword is what? The Word of God. And he caught hold of something. He caught hold of his sword. He caught a hold of a little part of the Word of God. And he said here, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise." Micah 7:8. And with that he gave him a deadly thrust, which made him give back. So Apollyon gave back as one that had received his mortal wound. Christian, perceiving that, made at him again, saying, see, he still had a sword in his hand. "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Romans 8:37, we read a while ago. You see, he got a hold of something. Folks, we're in a battle for our life. We must make heaven our home. We must, and we will, by the grace of God. And with that, Apollyon spread forth his dragon wings and sped him away, that Christian saw him no more. And he quotes James 4:7 there, or he writes it in there. You know, this morning, Paul said, "I know," 2 Timothy 1, "I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Oh, listen, folks, if you've just gotten saved or if you've been saved a long time, the Lord is able. Paul said, "I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." There's coming a day I'm going to have to turn it all in. And he's able to keep that I've committed to him clear up to that day. Do we know that this morning? Yes, we can, and we must. We must have confidence in God that he can and will take us through. I was meditating on this whole idea of the will and all of that. And we must will, folks, to keep our spirit clean through all the things, the valleys, the high places. Do you know that the great mountains of life where we feel like we could be lifted up to, that's a dangerous place? You know, when we are in the lowest valley of humiliation and all of that, that's a dangerous place. Do you know there are spirits that lurk in those places? And I want to encourage us this morning. God will take us through if we keep our spirits clean. He'll take us through together, folks. This morning, when we are at our weakest need, and I've been there, and I want to tell you, when you're in that place, I want to tell you, the spirits of Satan are very real. Satan is not a figment of imagination. He is a real creature, and we've been preaching that some for some time. We need to realize what we are fighting. We are not just fighting an inclination of myself. There are spirits all around. And the Lord asks Satan, "Where have you been?" "Oh, I've been walking to and fro in the earth, up and down in it. I've been going out." And he could have went on to say, "And I've been doing all my wicked work. And I've been tempting people. And I've been trying to give them something at their lowest, like he did to Jesus. 40 days and 40 nights fasting. And you know what he offered to Jesus? Jump off. Jump off and commit suicide." Jesus, tempted, actually felt the pull? He wouldn't have been tempted if he didn't. Let me tell you this morning, the spirits of Satan are very real. They come at our lowest, and they offer an alternative. They offer us all kinds of things. That's only one small example of the many things that they offer. Something different. Something we may not even desire. I was working with the soul one time, and I knew they had no desire for what Satan was tempting them with. But they were in disillusionment. They were in complete... It was like the world was falling apart and Satan was offering them things that I knew they didn't want. That's Satan. That's Satan. And don't be surprised if he offers it to you in your lowest or your highest. This morning, Let's recognize, folks, we're in a fight to go to heaven. And we must go. And we must resist all evil. And our souls must get there safely and clean and pure and holy and godly and without spot of sin upon it. We must get there. That's the only way we're going to get there. So this morning I want to encourage us, be careful of what Satan offers you. You get, maybe you've just been saved a while. I want to tell you something. He'll come along and offer you things. See it for what it is. It is a Satan beast that is real and alive. He just don't have a body like we do. See it for what it is and recognize it and put him to flight. Though he be strong like Apollyon, though he try to overtake us as Apollyon, we must not yield. We must make it through. Our souls must make it through clean and pure to the end. Because when he begins to share his wares with us, I want to tell you, he will convince us. He'll wrap us up. He'll wrap our mind up in evil or bitterness or anger. Or he'll wrap our mind up in discouragement and disillusionment. That is the work of Satan. He is real. He has power to tempt you in that way. And we have all the power of God. And Paul said, I am persuaded that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. There isn't anything. There isn't anything. Folks, we're all on our journey, aren't we? The Lord help us to make it. Spirits will render us incapable of making right judgments if we accept what they offer. I want to encourage us to never accept from Satan what he offers. Because see, if Jesus would have accepted in his heart, see, Satan said, here, I'll give you all these kingdoms. Do you think Satan would have gave him all those kingdoms? He would have bound him the minute he could. Think he'd have had those kingdoms? Uh-uh. Satan will render our reasoning incapable and ineffective if we allow him to have it. Spirits will do that. It'll influence the way we think. We used to put up mirrors in shopping malls. And it was part of our work to set them up. Well, sometimes we'd put a mirror up and you'd walk up in front of it and you were like this or like this. And you might feel better if it was up, but sometimes it was out. And it was just a mirror. Satan will do that to us. Jesus was vulnerable. We don't have to be possessed by a spirit to be influenced by one. I have a few other scriptures for us here. 1 Peter 5 and 7. Listen to this, folks. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I want to tell you what, we all face this same Apollyon, don't we? We all face Satan. And so he says, cast your care on the Lord. He'll help us get through things, folks. Be sober and be vigilant. Your adversary walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Oh, Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, I have fought a good fight, he said. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Paul said, I've fought a good fight. And you know what he tells us? He says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. In 1 Corinthians 9, we find another passage here. 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He said, I don't fight like a person that's swinging his arms wildly. Paul said, I don't do that. He said, every man that strives for the mastery in boxing, in running, in whatever, they give it all they've got that they might be effective, that they might hit the target. And folks, that target is Satan. That target is self. The Lord wants us to make it. He said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Shall we be a castaway? We must not be. He said, I bring my body into subjection. I bring my thoughts into subjection. I bring myself into subjection. Lest after I have preached to all these people all these years, I myself should be a castaway. That's what Paul's saying here exactly. Oh, the Lord help us today. Folks, let's take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's found in Ephesians 6 and 17. Let's take that this morning. Let's take that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and let's use it, and the grace of God will back it up this morning. Maybe just one more place here. Hebrews 4 and 12. Listen to the blessing that the Word of God is meant to be in our life. It says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful. That means it's not a dead letter. That means it is alive and it has power. And when we use it, as we saw Pilgrim did, he reached over, he was able to grasp his hand on the sword, which is the Word of God. He was able to grasp that. And it says, it's quick and powerful. It's alive and powerful. It's able to do the job that we need done in our heart, in our life. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All this morning, I believe the Lord wants to make each one of us get to heaven. He paid a really big price that we could get there. We must not think, you know, I may not make it. I may not be able to make it. This looks bigger than me. I've failed before. I want to tell you this morning that the Word of God is alive and powerful. And if we will let the Lord teach us to use it, it will work. It will work wonders in our life and in our experience with the Lord. Oh, I want to tell you, there's been people go before us. David was one, and we get much comfort out of his Psalms, don't we? Many that he wrote there. And we find that David was one that when the battles were small, he learned to trust in God. I don't think he looked at that bear and said, I'm stronger than you. I don't think he looked at the lion and said, I can take you on. I think David knew his job was to care for those sheep. And he said, I'm going in and God's going to help me. Folks, God's going to help us today. It's in the Lord's strength. And the battle's not ours, but it's His. And one day David came to a giant, a bigger man than I've ever heard of. If he was as big as what it looks like he was, he must have been way up there, well over 9 feet tall. Well, I will tell you this morning, that would be formidable. Except that David had slain the lion. And David had slain the bear. And he went into that knowing, this is my battle. And God gave him the victory. Folks, I want to encourage us, wherever we are on this realm, learn to slay the little things. Learn to fight the battles that God gives you. It's by His power and by His strength. We don't walk into it feeling self-confident, like I can take care. I want to tell you something. When the little things of life come up, grasp hold of the promise of God and grasp hold firmly. God will help me win this battle. And let it be so in our life. Let Him build our faith. Let Him take us from one place to another in the things of God. If we have to get help from someone else praying with us, folks, sometimes one can chase 1,000 and two 10,000. I want to encourage us, let's determine in our heart, I shall win. I shall see heaven in peace one day. I shall keep my soul clean until I turn it in on the other side. I shall wear those shining garments one day. And you pray for me because I want to make it too.